We're going to be again this morning in Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to look at the first 8 verses together, but I want to remind you where we were last week. That'll give you a hint where we're going for this month. Last week we looked at Genesis chapter 3, and we looked at the idea that fear was introduced into our world as a result of sin. Fear has come into our world as a consequence of sin. It's not always experienced as a result of you personally sinning. Just because you have fear doesn't mean necessarily you have done something wrong. Some of you, you know, you walk outside, there's a snake laying across your front porch, you scream, you jump back, you age a couple of years, your hair turns a couple more pieces gray. It's not because of personal sin that you have experienced fear, but nonetheless, fear still has entered in because of sin. They weren't afraid of snakes before the fall. I know it's hard to a concept to imagine, but there was no fear of anything of that nature, any fear at all, before the fall of Adam. And so it's important that we understand that the reason why we fear is as a result or a consequence of sin. Now, sometimes it is a result of personal sin. Go back to even when you were a little kid. This is usually the less offensive to people. You were a little kid, you did something wrong, and you were afraid of being found out. So you did your best to cover your tracks, whatever that meant. Make sure you get the chocolate off your face. You didn't eat those cookies, right? Except for the piece you missed over there, which kind of gave your game away. But we still try to cover our tracks because sometimes it is a result of personal sin. But even when it isn't, it's hard-pressed to find someone who never experiences fear at all. We can be minding our own business and fear sticks its head in the door. We can be minding our own business and fear decides that it needs to interrupt our way of living. And even sometimes walking in obedience to God can bring the temptation of fear. And I'll say that part again because I know most of you don't think that sounds right. Even walking in obedience to God can expose you to fear. How you respond to it's important, but even walking in obedience, as we're about to see, would expose you to fear. Now, before we consider Ezekiel, I want you to consider Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, when God says, "Who will go for me?" Isaiah jumped up and said, "I'll go." And Isaiah probably should have waited and said, "What do you want me to do first, Lord?" Basically, God said, "Isaiah, I want you to go be my mouthpiece to a people that aren't going to listen to a word you've got to say." Imagine, from the outset, before you even preached your first sermon, before you've spoken your first word from the Lord, God says, they're not going to pay you any mind. Heavy eyes, closed ears, hard hearts. Wasn't always good for prophets. You know, being a prophet and hearing directly from God, we would all like that, right? And for God to speak directly to us, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, but when we look at what the prophets went through, kind of like, Lord, can I just have your voice and not the other part? Most of the prophets, if not all of them, suffered greatly because of being called by the Lord. And even with Isaiah, irrespective to what the people would respond, he was called to be obedient and preaching and teaching at the command of God. When we come to the book of Ezekiel, we find a man who is going to face nothing less than what Isaiah did. It's important that you know from the outset that the name Ezekiel means strengthened by God. Strengthened by God. If you have a really advanced Bible, your Bible may even have a J in front of the E, because that is the pronunciation. We say Ezekiel, and it would be Ezekiel. It would be more like it than that. But when you hear the J, the Yah, then hopefully your mind begins to think, wait, Jehovah, Yehovah, Yahweh, Jehovah, that's what helps you understand Ezekiel. God is my strength. It's just a small, very short, not even complete thought into the language there. But that's what his name means. He is strengthened by God. Some of you have fallen for the lie of the modern preachers that if you're walking in obedience to God, you're never going to be molested by sin. If you're following in obedience to God, your road's going to be smooth. Ain't going to be like I-10. It ain't going to be like Highway 171. I noticed on Thursday, the northbound was fine. Southbound, like, did the same people even work on the road here? What's wrong with the southbound? It's got more of these little things going on than normal. And we tend to think that if I follow God, everything's going to be really smooth sailing. Well, I'm not better than Jesus. And Jesus didn't have a smooth road. What makes me think I would earn merit or even deserve something better than my master received? So again, being strengthened by God does not mean you will not be molested by sin, but in the midst of opposition, God will be there to strengthen you. So in Ezekiel chapter 2, God begins to speak to Ezekiel in verse 1, and he says, "Son of man," and Brother John, I still don't know, I'm not there yet. "Son of man" is a title that God uses for Ezekiel. I know it's the title Jesus chose for himself when he was upon the earth. I'm not ready to expound on that at all, but he calls him "Son of man." "Stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto you." And he had bowed down because of a great vision he had seen in chapter 1. "The Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send you unto them. You shall say unto them, Thus says the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear," not hear, for they are a rebellious house, "yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, and though you dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious," and that word "most" there doesn't really mean what you think you're looking at it. Your marginal reference there says rebellion, rebellious. And we would get marked off in language saying that's redundant. Well, God's not being redundant here. God is emphasizing how rebellious these people are. They are a house of rebellion, rebellious. You'd mark that wrong on a person's grammar paper, wouldn't you? You're just thinking they're trying to get the 300 words in, and so they're doubling them up. Man, wait till all the grammarians get to heaven and correct God. It's going to be a strange day, won't it? God didn't make a mistake here. They are rebellion, rebellious. "But you, son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not you rebellious like them, that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat that I give thee." So as you think back through these short verses that we've just read, rebellious, transgressed, impudent, stiff-hearted, rebellious, briars, thorns, dismayed, rebellious, rebellions, rebellious, rebellious, rebellious. This is the environment Ezekiel is being sent into. Don't make me repeat that. Ezekiel is not being sent into a pleasant environment. He is not being sent into an environment where everybody's going to pat him on the back. "Good job, bro. We'll see you again next week, same time," right? Rebellious, transgressors, impudent. I don't know that we use that word much anymore, but it's got to do with the looks on their faces. Stiff-hearted. Some of your Bibles are going to have the word stubborn somewhere in there. But the briars and the thorns, the scorpions, dismayed, rebellious. Nothing about this is pleasing unto us. Do you stand out in the midst of briars and thorns? You should. I was thinking about this. I've been through some sticker bushes in my time as a hunter, just like most hunters. You know, you're trying out a new piece of land, and you're walking through, and before long, you find yourself in the midst of a sticker thicket. It's easier to find palmettos around here, and you just cannot sneak up on anything in palmettos. But if you got a big sea of palmettos in front of you, and you're wanting to get somewhere, you stand out because you're not green, and you're making lots of noise. Ezekiel is going to stand out. He is going to stand apart. He is going to be noticeably different because he is surrounded by rebellion and he is not rebellious. He is going to look different. He is going to sound different. He is going to act different. Are you afraid to be different than those that are around you? Are you willing to stand out or do you like to blend in? Oh, I just don't like to cause waves. I don't even think about waves when I put my shirts on. Somebody said, "You got the purple shirt on?" Yes, because Luke don't buy purple. My sister-in-law thought I needed a purple shirt. That's why I got a purple shirt on. It has nothing to do with what I would have picked out. I'm a blue fella. Blue is, I mean, y'all notice most of my Hawaiian shirts are blue. 50 years ago, can you imagine me walking into a Baptist church with a Hawaiian shirt like this on?
Walk in and walk out.
I'd have had to find a tie to fit the thing. I don't even know if they make Hawaiian ties, you know. I don't even know if you could button them. No, I can't button them. That's, my shirt would have to be this big for me to button them. But willing to stand out for all the right reasons. Not just because you want to be different. Not just because you want to walk against the flow. This has nothing to do with the flow. These are about as cool as a shirt can possibly be in church. And it's good for you, Brother Gary, because if I had to wear a three-piece suit and a tie, you just think the air conditioner is on cold right now. It would be about 68 if I had to wear that thing. Because even up here, it still gets warm. Has nothing to do with walking against the flow. But I challenge you to show me where Jesus wore a suit and a tie. I went to school with guys that churches would not consider them to be a pastor because they wore beards. Even though our master had his plucked out by men being evil. Are we willing to stand out for the Lord? And in the context of verse chapter 2 here, because we walk in obedience, not in rebellion. Now when God calls Ezekiel, this is what I'm sending you into the midst of. He tells him in verse 5, and then he's going to tell him again in verse 7, and I want you to look at them together. In verse 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Forbear means not listen. If you look down in verse 7, at the end of the verse there, or in the middle, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear not listening. God tells Ezekiel, I want you to go tell them, and how they respond is irrespective to what I expect of you. It doesn't matter if 1,000 people raise their hands and make a decision for the Lord. It doesn't matter if 1,000 people get up and walk out in anger, Ezekiel. It does not matter. You're going to do what I've called you to do. So Ezekiel's goal is not to rattle the cages. It is not to condemn the people. It is simply to walk in obedience to the Lord. The Lord says speak. Ezekiel's called to speak. In fact, in Ezekiel, a little bit later on, God's going to tell him, Ezekiel, if I tell you to warn the people and you don't, and they die, their blood's on your hands. And Ezekiel, when I tell you to warn them and you warn them, and even though they don't listen, you have freed yourself. Your hands are clean. There's a lot going on here for Ezekiel to process, but here, Ezekiel, it doesn't matter whether they will listen or whether they won't listen. That's not the reason I am sending you there, Ezekiel. God says in verse 5, I'm sending you to them so that they will know a prophet has been in their midst. And in this sense, the prophet is the one speaking on behalf of the Lord. God says, I want them to know that my voice has been heard among them. Whether they listen or not is beside the point. I am going to present them with my word so that they are without excuse. It's not up to me whether you obey God's word or not. And yet so many times people want me to correct somebody else. Make them do right. That's not my calling. Now, if they were my kid, I might have some influence there. But younger, I don't think Bubba would probably appreciate me pulling my belt off and threatening now. Might be more of a scrap than I'd want to. We can still get away with that with Braden, though. Getting a little bigger, though, it might get a little harder. You can outrun Papa? You think so? Okay. We ain't going to test it, though, are we? No, we're not going to test it. Not only are they going to be without excuse, but this is the way God works as well. They're going to look back on that day and they're going to rue the fact that they didn't listen to God. That's not beneath God of putting his people in a position where he has warned them and then they find themselves in the worst of the worst and looking back saying, we should have listened to the Lord. Now the goal there, when people respond that way, is hopefully in the future they will listen to the Lord. Now according to what we just read here, they're rebellious. They're a rebellion house of rebelliousness. They're impudent, they're stiff-hearted, they're stubborn. Not got a lot of hope for them as we look at it. And if you read the book of Ezekiel, it doesn't get any better as you go along. Because the people are stiff-hearted. Now, we're painting with a broad brush. That doesn't mean every single one of them was Ezekiel, was it? And even when Elijah thought he was the only one, God said, I've got 1,000 servants that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. You're not the only one. But as a nation in general, they are in rebellion against the Lord. And whether they respond or not is not why God has called Ezekiel. Ezekiel is to be God's voice, God's mouthpiece to them. And verse 6, as we get down to where we're going to focus, God tells Ezekiel at the first part of verse 6, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Look at the last part of the verse. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. And what these are the same thought. They're running in parallel. So the first one he tells them, be not afraid of them, is compared to later on in the verse, be not dismayed by their looks. In other words, when you approach the people, their faces are going to be a cause of fear. They're not smiling when he shows up, in other words. Now there's lots of ways you can consider this. Everybody is not always what they seem, but I sure appreciate it when somebody's looking at me in anger rather than I'm trying to figure out if they're angry at me or happy with me, because then I know what I'm dealing with. But Ezekiel's going to get all kinds of looks here. And if Ezekiel is going to accomplish what God wants him to do, he cannot be afraid. Ezekiel doesn't need to overcome the people. Ezekiel needs to overcome fear of the people. Getting to Revelation, somewhere in chapter 2, I think it is, you find the Nicolaitans. They conquered the people. The apostles weren't called to conquer anybody. They were called to be faithful to the Lord and overcome fear in their lives by being faithful to the Lord. Ezekiel is not called to overcome the people. He is called to overcome fear of the people. And he is commanded by God. Put your seatbelt on. I'm about to hit you hard, okay? Ezekiel is commanded by God to not give quarter, to not give any room to fear. And fear of faces and words is something that most people, including Christians, struggle with. But I want you to notice carefully in this verse, a complete lack of empathy on God's part towards Ezekiel concerning fear. Is God concerned about fear in Ezekiel's life? Other than telling him, don't, it don't matter. What you're afraid of is irrelevant to God. Whatever trouble you face, whatever opposition you face, God says, don't do it. And we've gotten soft in these day and age because everybody wants to be ta-ta'd and everybody wants to be cooed over and everybody wants to be back-patted when God says, don't. Probably one of my favorite, I'm just going to call him Bob Newhart, had that little counseling session that was on it wasn't Mary Tyler Moore, it was, who was the other funny lady? Carol Burnett. And a lady goes in there for counseling and says, I want you to write this down. No, do it! And no matter what, that's it, that was his words. Don't do it. And then you know what they were doing? They were mocking modern psychology. Because modern psychology has got to get in your brain and get in your thoughts and try to untangle the spaghetti, and you can't untangle spaghetti. Either hit it with your fork and chew on it or forget it because you can't untangle it. It breaks, it falls apart. Unless you cooked it right. Spaghetti. And they're mocking it. And God's not mocking Ezekiel here, but he's telling Ezekiel straight up, don't be afraid. But you don't know what I'm... Don't be afraid. Don't do it. And this isn't the only time God does this with one of his followers. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, he tells Joshua, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear them. He says it's a command. It's not something to be worked through. It's something for you to receive from God, believe, and to move on. It's when we try to psychoanalyze our fears is when we run into troubles. All of us have them. You're afraid your car is going to break down, or you're afraid your tire is going to pop. You're afraid more bills are going to come in and you got money. There's answers for all of these things, but that's beside the point. You're afraid of things that go bump in the night. You're afraid of spiders. You're afraid of snakes. I worked with a plumber in New Orleans. He was afraid of spiders. What a combination. We would crawl under this building. It was called the zoo. It was a three layers where everybody with kids, families of three or greater kids lived. That's why they called it the zoo. It was a wild house. But there was a crawl space under this big set of duplexes. There were spiders everywhere. Big. His name was Busy. He was a tough looking dude. And he was afraid of spiders. Oh, I wish he could see this. He'd be so giggling right now. He washed his hands in the zinc, but boy, do not throw him spiders. How's he going to do his job if he's afraid of spiders? He sent in Luke. Luke's not there. I don't know what he's been doing since then. You have fears. Okay. Get over it. I know. Well, what did God tell Ezekiel? Don't be afraid. You can be surrounded by briars and scorpions. Don't fear them. God didn't come alongside of him and wrap his arm around him saying, now I need you to pay attention. Ezekiel, do not fear them. I'm telling you, it still fascinates me to watch some of the military guys that are so in the zone. Bullets are flying past them. They're up, and they're doing what they were trained to do. You ain't got time to fear a bullet. If you're fearing the bullets, what are you going to do? Accomplish nothing. Now, I'm not saying there's not an appropriate time to get down, but to watch these guys in the midst of bullets flying by. Y'all have all seen the videos coming off at Normandy Beach, Utah Beach, men going towards the source of opposition. Fear tells you to hide in your boat, even though that wasn't necessarily a safe place to be either. They went towards that which was causing them fear. They were trained. That's what they were taught to do. Yeah, but I'm afraid of lead. Get over it. You're in the military. There's lots of lead around. You're following the Lord. You're going to face opposition. If you decide to live for the Lord, you are going to face opposition. It's election season. Don't make me go there. killing babies is not a political platform. It's not. And if you got to hold your nose to vote for the less stinky, you hold your nose for the less stinky. But killing babies is not a platform that honors God. The woman's right to choose is before she gets in the sack with a man, not after she's made a baby. You got control over your bodies, women. Exercise it before you get pregnant, not after. Ezekiel is told by God, don't be afraid. And listen, God is aware of how bad it is. I've said it, read it. Remember verse 6, he says, though you dwell among scorpions, and though briars and thorns be with you. You ever been in such a sticker patch that no matter where you turn, one's grabbing you? You about escape one and another one grabs you back there and you escape it and another one. If you've worked in anywhere and you're clearing some property, you've probably run into this. God says, Ezekiel, it's going to be with you. Thorns and briars. Now he's referring to the people. Not literal scorpions, not literal stickers. This is what the people are going to be that I'm sending you to. And that's pretty bad if I understand it like I think I do. But what does God expect from Ezekiel? To not be afraid. I know very few of you have ever preached a sermon or preached to a class. Had a lady ask me one time, not here at another place, how can you stand up in the pulpit and speak to those people knowing what they're doing behind your back? Because what they're doing behind my back is not what God has called me to worry about. Proclaiming the word to them is what's most important. She couldn't figure it out. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't like it. It didn't feel good. I would much rather be where people are like, amen, preach it, brother, that's right. But sometimes that can be scary too. Because if everybody's all only agreeing with me, then I'm going to be reading Paul's letter to Timothy and saying, wait a minute, everybody's in agreement. Are we all got tickling ears? Am I telling you what you want to hear? Are we not confronting what we need to confront? 6 in one hand, half a dozen in the other. That's why God tells Ezekiel, don't you worry about how they respond. Ezekiel, you do what I've told you to do. Parents, discipline your kids. Yeah, but what if they hate me? Discipline your kids. One more, this will get YouTube censors. You little YouTube dude, deal with this. God says, beat your kid. It won't kill him. Now, he's not talking about on the head, in the face. Talking about applying the rod of discipline to the seed of understanding. Hell, but that's child abuse. No, it isn't. That's called being biblically faithful to the text. We're called to walk in faith, not fear. So when God warns Ezekiel, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their faces. Sometimes people look at you with the intent to intimidate you. Some people look at you the way they do simply because they're callous. They don't give a rip what you're saying. Some people are just completely dismissal with their attitude. No wonder God's got to tell Ezekiel, don't be afraid of that, because what he sees in the faces of the people is not going to be receptiveness. It is going to be all kinds of responses from the people. How difficult it is to address people, confronting them even, about their sinful behavior and looking them face to face. Had a guy get mad one time, actually had two of them. I was saying something at two different churches, and you were looking at me when you said it. Well, it's because you're in the audience. You know, I purposely make it a point, you know, when you come to church, Eddie, here's the things I'm going to illustrate with Eddie in line, because I'm going to get on his nerves. And Zach, boy, I'm going to use this illustration just for Zach. It don't even cross my mind to do something like that. That's foolish, number one. Number two, I don't detail plan my sermons that close. But in hindsight, if what I said poked them that bad, maybe they needed poking. Because their response was not connected to what they were upset about. Ezekiel, had he told them, I'm okay, you're okay, they would have been happy. But that's not going to happen. In fact, and I'm going to go ahead and go here, put your seatbelts on again. Ezekiel is going to look at them in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 25. You might want to put fingers in Coralie's ears here before I say this. Ezekiel, under God's inspiration, says to the people, you're like a roadside whore spreading your legs to the men that walk by. Look in Ezekiel 16 with me. It's not very far. I can't believe he said that in church. God said it! That's how bad it had gotten. Ezekiel 16. Verse 25, you have built your high place at every head of the way and have made your beauty to be abhorred and have opened your feet to everyone that passed by and multiplied your whoredoms. They spread their feet to all the people walking by. Oof. See why God told Ezekiel, don't you be concerned about what their faces display. That went well about in Ezekiel's time if I actually commanded that and charged that here. If I came out of the block and said, you spiritual whores, you'll sleep with any wind of doctrine that comes by, you won't you? Everybody'd be like, right? Tell me I'm wrong. God says, you go warn my people. Because from God's perspective, this is what he sees spiritually. He says, Ezekiel, don't you worry about the looks on their faces. See, some of y'all, if y'all had read y'all's Bibles closer, you would have known that existed. And you would have said, Lord, please never let Brother Luke preach from Ezekiel again. Imagine the anger on their faces. Is it expected to be any less than how they treated Jesus when he spoke? You whitewashed tombs. You dirty cups. You're clean on the outside and look good, but inside you got all kind of moldy and grimy stuff inside. And it's not God's intent to be crass. It's not God's intent to be crude. It's God communicating to his people. And he tells Ezekiel, when you tell them these things, don't worry about the looks on their faces. See, some of y'all are afraid to bring up Jesus at your Thanksgiving because it may ruffle the table. Well, if God tells you to bring it up, you got one option. Bring it up or disobey God. That's it. Doesn't matter if you upset their dinner. If they get that upset because you bring up Jesus, Jesus needed to be brought to that table. If they get that upset at you bringing Jesus to the table, it's good that you upset their dinner. Then he tells him, don't be afraid of their words, accusations. I'm going to catch you out in the parking lot and I'm going to beat you up. You're the one been coming into my store and trying to tell me these words. I'm going to beat you up right now. Man, you talk about putting fear for a brief moment into an individual's heart. Look for somebody big and look for somebody badder. And I know that's not appropriate, but you look for somebody badder. Grammar ain't got nothing to do when you're in that kind of circumstance. We need somebody badder. Maybe even a batter with a bat would help. when you've done nothing wrong. Fear can show up, and people use words to intimidate as well. Not just their looks, but they use words to make accusations. You're after our money. Number one, I ain't got access to none of the money. I don't have access to none of the checks. I don't pick up the offering. I don't count the offering. I don't do anything with the offering. Please tell me, how in the world do you think I'm going to get access to the money? I appreciate the fact that you're making me sound very brilliant at this moment. I don't mind that. But explain to me, because right now I hadn't figured out how to do that. And then if you hang around with me for a while, you'll find out I don't think a church should ever go into debt for any reason. And if a church has debt and I'm called there, we're going to pay off the debt before we do anything else. Ezekiel, don't be afraid of their words. It can be rough. Because people can use words in ways that are meant to intimidate, that are meant to get you to not speak the voice of God like Ezekiel was called to do. Can you imagine looking at their faces and hearing these dismissing words? But God said to you, you're going to be among briars, you're going to be among the thorns, you're going to be in the midst of scorpions. Do not fear them. Remember his name? Remember what it means? Strengthened by God. You see, this is not something you can muster up yourself. If God has called you to a path and you're walking in a path of obedience, God's going to strengthen you. It is not something you build on your own. Strengthened by God. God didn't call a supernatural Ezekiel. He called him what? Son of man. That means he's full of weakness. Son of man, strengthened by God. Speaking the truth, strengthened by God. And I realize sometimes I'll tell you, if you want to know what I think, ask me. Not that I get great joy from that, but if you really want to know what I think, I'm usually not afraid to tell you. I try to use wisdom because you may or may not really mean it. Walking up to a people and speaking to them words that are going to be directly confrontational to what they're about. I would have no problem being called to go preach at the Mormon Tabernacle. I'd never be called back. I would have no problem. Rick Warren called me tomorrow. Brother Luke, need you to preach at my church next Sunday. Yes, sir. What time you want me there? I got a purpose. Some of y'all don't get that, and that's a good thing. Ezekiel's not going to be a one and gone. Ezekiel's going to dwell amongst them. And every day of his life, he is going to be seeing these people. That's what a fascinating thing about church is so different now. I seldom run into very many of you during the week because our lives are so mobile now. Or you work from home, so you don't get out. I don't want to run into certain people in their jobs. It's better if I don't run into them. That means I'm obeying traffic laws, and that's a good thing. Ezekiel is going to be buying food from these vendors. He is going to be walking down the same dusty road with these people. And God says, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their words. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, the writer of Hebrews says, let your conversation, let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. not these other things, but the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Walking in obedience, no fear. Can it catch that? Don't like the verse 6 without verse 5. I know we like to verse shop. Find a little portion, pull it out, and yes, I love this. No. This not fearing is built upon what? You living a righteous lifestyle. Because it's hard not to have fear when you're walking in sin. But when you're walking in faithful obedience, the confidence of God will build you up. Not only here, Philippians chapter 1. Notice what he says here. Now, you can argue Paul wrote Hebrews, and I won't cross swords with you there, whether he did or did not. Here in Philippians, Paul did write this. Chapter 1, verse 27 through 28, only let your conversation, let your lifestyle be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So unity among the true believers, walking and living in accordance with the word of God, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. What does it matter if I'm afraid or not? When you're not afraid, it is to your adversaries an evident token of perdition. In other words, when you're able to stand and face your biblical opponents face to face, the sinners versus the Word of God, and not show fear, it's a testament that they lose. What are you afraid for? Even if they kill you, you're going to heaven, right? That's not a loss. That's a win. I need a lot more people to agree on that. That's you've graduated. But not only when you stand up in faith is it a token of their perdition, to you it's of salvation and that of God. In other words, you are confident God's got you. And even if they take your body, God's going to wrap you up and you're going to be safe with Him eternally in glory. Amen. That's why he tells the Philippians, don't be afraid. Do not be concerned, though you're approaching those who would terrify others. Live a godly lifestyle, which Ezekiel did, and not be terrified. Back to Ezekiel, but chapter 3. In Ezekiel chapter 3, and I realize some of this is going to sound repetitious, God doesn't repeat himself because he forgot what he said. He's dealing with us. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4, he said unto me, Son of man, go thee unto the house of Israel and speak my words unto them. For you are not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech or a strange language and of a hard language whose words you cannot understand. He says, surely, had I sent you to those people, the Gentiles, they would have listened unto you. Remember, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And what did Nineveh do? Repented. Israel never did. He says, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, for they will not hearken unto me. You catch that? They're not going to listen to you if they don't listen to me, God says. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold now, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant, a hard stone, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you, receive in your heart, hear them with your ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity and to the children of your people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether you will hear or whether you will not listen. Says Ezekiel, I have prepared you for them. I have made you just as stubborn in regards to my word as they are against me. I have made your face towards them just as impudent as they are going to show you. God's fighting fire with fire. God's using iron against iron, stone against stone. And they're not going to be able to say, "But we didn't know. But nobody told us." When Ezekiel got to heaven, his hands were as white as the snow. Don't be afraid of them. When God gives you a word from His word, when He says, "Go and be my witness," don't be afraid of what the people say. I mean, church is not political. Just because we vote it doesn't make it so. Church is not a democracy. We're a monarchy, and He reigns and rules on high. King, servant, end of discussion. And we will answer to Him for good or for bad. We don't get a say-so. We either obey what He says or we disobey. And the interesting fact is that God sends people to His people that are just like His people, only they're far God in that same sense. You find me arrogant, obstinate, and kind of get on your nerves sometimes, then God sent me because I'm just like you. Only I'm far God. That don't sound good from the pulpit at all, does it? No, really. God says, "I'm sending you, one of you, but He's listening to me." Made Him like He needed to be. A stiff-necked, hard-hearted. He calls them briars. He calls them scorpions. No matter where God puts you, no matter where God places you, be not afraid of the people that He puts you in the midst of. "But they can fire me." They can't fire God. "But they'll talk about me." We know they don't talk about God. Don't be afraid of where God puts you. You do the work God has called you to do, nothing more, nothing less, irrespective of how the people around you respond. There is no reason for you to fear man when you're in faithful obedience unto the Lord, no matter where He puts you. Planted Ezekiel right down in the middle of a sticker patch. And if that wasn't bad enough, scorpions crawling around just to remind him to watch your feet. It's hard to watch your feet when you're dodging stickers. God says, "Don't you be afraid. I will strengthen you."